Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you. Today, we're going to talk about this. What is this? How many of you grew up with an Advent wreath in your church? How many of you did not? Okay. So it's good we're probably talking about this today. Advent wreath is a circular garland of evergreen branches. Anybody know what they represent? Now stop and think. It's a circle. What does a circle represent in the church? Forever. Eternity. So this represents eternity. Okay? And on that, we have four candles and a big white one in the middle. And each Sunday in Advent, we light one of the candles. Why do we do that? Well, because it looks pretty, right? You think there's more to it than that? There is. Well, let's talk about this for a little bit. Folks, how many of you grew up Roman Catholic? Did you have an Advent wreath in your church? Okay. Actually, the Advent wreath was invented by us Lutherans. But since the 1500s, it's gone into almost all churches, including the Roman Catholic Church. Why? Well, for one thing, it helps make Advent come alive. But there's a message here that is very important. Our very first candle that we lit is called the Prophecy Candle. And that represents hope. Okay? And it's in remembrance of the prophets, and especially Isaiah, who we have, who foretold the birth of Christ. And this is the first that goes with that. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. That's from Isaiah 7. That's what this candle represents. So, it's the hope or expectation and anticipation of the coming Messiah. All right, so the second week, which was last week, is called the Bethlehem Candle. And, Betty, I'm going to ask you to bring your lighter up here, because we got the other wrong candle. But today, we do the pink one. And we'll talk about that here in a second. Yeah, because that's what let's send you our official candle. No, this is actually, yeah. Thank you, dear. Well, the thing is, how many of you knew that? I mean, it's not picking on Betty. One. Because you asked me about it. Which one did we do this week? Okay. But there's a reason for this. All right, so our second one is the Bethlehem candle. And what does this represent? Love. All right, so hope, love.
Joy.
Well, not yet. That's today. I'll wait till I get there and then you can say. All right. We have, like I said, some traditions call this the Bethlehem candle. Some of them call it just the love candle. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Luke 2. So, we have love. Okay. Now, today, we have
joy.
This is the shepherd's candle. And this one represents us rejoicing. Joy. Okay. You with me? Does that make sense to you? That's why this is Gaudet Sunday, is because we are rejoicing.
Why is it pink?
No, this one's supposed to be pink. Why is it from the center? Because, who does that represent?
Christ.
Okay, that's called the Christ candle on this. All right, but this one is a different color, and that's a good question. Why? Anybody want to take a stab at why? Let me read the verse. And there were shepherds living out in fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Rejoice in joy." Now, we have purple candles here. Normally, they're blue. And if they're blue, what color pyramids do we use? Blue. Okay? And today, we would have purple or violet pyramids. Who does that represent? Whenever we see purple. Probably good we're talking about this, isn't it? Jesus the Lord. Anytime we see a purple pyramid, it's Jesus the Lord, the King. Now, on Easter, we usually have white or silver, and it also means Jesus. But what does it have to do with him then on Easter? The resurrected Lord. So when you see, I mean, stop and think, if it was the day before people read or could read and write, if they walked into a church, you could know what the church Sunday was about by just looking at the color that's in there. That's where that came from. Okay, so today is the shepherd's candle, and this is joy and rejoicing. And then finally, next week, what do you think? I like the way all of you are so excited about sin. It's the peace candle. And that is the candle for the angels. All right? Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Now, all of this is going on, and none of you really knew it, did you? But isn't that a beautiful story? Okay, there's so many traditions why we do things in the church. And this is one of the ones, that's why I'm doing Advent, because it's important. Okay? Now, our very last one on Christmas Eve, not Christmas Eve morning, but Christmas Eve, the white center candle is lit. Now, this represents the life of Christ that has come into the world. And the white symbolizes purity. Okay, I heard somebody else say that, and that is. Christ is a sinless, spotless, pure Savior. And those who receive Christ as Savior are washed of their sins and made whiter than snow. "Come now, let us settle the matter," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Isaiah 1. All right, isn't that beautiful? All right, so what does this all mean for us? "Fear not, for I bring to you tidings of great joy." Isn't that exciting? Okay, I think so. But why is peace, love, and hope important? Don't they all have to do with Jesus? And Jesus coming to us? Both as a little baby and as the Savior who comes back. You know, I had some people say something to me about, "Well, don't you fear the second coming? Should we fear the second coming?" No. I mean, we're in the in group, aren't we? Okay, we're believers. We understand that. And what a blessing it is to be a part of that. I really think that this is the basis of all Christianity, is what that Advent wreath represents. I've got to blow my nose, I'm sorry. Okay? Now,
turn that off. You don't need to hear the log
horn. Baseball. Trinity. Well, we believe in the Trinity, don't we? But now I want you to think of something. In Advent, we're waiting for Jesus, right? We're not waiting for God. And we're not waiting for the Holy Spirit. We're waiting for Jesus. Why? You're right, but why? Because he came to fulfill the law. He's the one that brought the gospel to us. You know, today's reading was from John. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And that's why Jesus is so important. That's why Jesus, you know, it's not God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. Jesus, because he's the one that's going to come back. But, you know, it's one of those real blessings because we're anticipating him. I want to share something with all of you. You know, I come from a real funny Russian-German family. And my grandfather, Stoliker, was born in Russia, okay? And so for Christmas dinner, we always had an extra seat at the table with dishes on it, and nobody ever sat there. And so we asked one time, Grandpa, why do we have this? He said, that's for Jesus. Okay, you know, you can see a bunch of kids rolling their eyes. Okay. So one Christmas, it was snowing real bad in Omaha. Icy roads. And we were just sitting down to Christmas dinner. Okay, just sat down, get ready to pray. Knock at the door. Grandpa got up, went to the door, opened it up. Man standing there. He says, my car is breaking down. Can I use your phone? I'm trying to get home to Lincoln, hour away. But in that kind of weather, it'd probably be a 2 to 3 hour drive. And he says, can I let him know what's happening? And Grandpa said, sure, come on in. Came in, he said, have you eaten yet? And he said, well, no, I don't want to be your father. He said, we got your plate setting set. Sit down. And he did. Guess what happened after he ate? Car started, and he went home. And that's when the little hairs on the back of the neck started going up. Okay. Did Jesus send somebody?
Yeah.
Yes. I believe that wholeheartedly. Now, do I still keep that tradition going? No, I probably should. But it's one of those things. It was fulfilled. See what I'm getting at? Okay. So we know that Jesus coming back to us will be fulfilled. And isn't that a joyous occasion? Isn't that the time that we need to rejoice? And that's what this Sunday is the Rejoice Sunday. And I think what it teaches us is this, by the grace of God earned for us on the cross, we too can have that hope of eternal life. And that hope is today, tomorrow, and always the eternity that is shown by that wreath. The peace, the joy, the hope in Christ. Was born to us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let us pray. May this love, joy, peace, and hope keep you in your baptismal grace. Today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.